Good morning, everyone. So glad you're here. We're going to talk about prayer a lot today. We're starting out Building Hope, and we're going to be looking at that prayer. Let me ask you the question. How important is prayer? How important is prayer? Very important. Very big, definitely good, important thing to do. I want you to kind of understand, we answer that question, not just in our minds, we answer it with our actions. We answer it in our lives, right? Are we praying enough? Do we pray more than we do social media? Do we pray more than we entertain ourselves? Do we pray more than we talk to others? Do we pray? Do we get down on our faces in prayer? Do we pray? A friend of mine went to a conference. It's called Urbana. It's a missions conference. And they have thousands of young adults there, thousands of kids. And they're out there and they're just all in for Jesus. And they're just super excited and super incredible. And they send them out into the city to go do evangelism. Go share your faith. Go talk to people about Jesus. See how many people respond. And there's probably around 100, 200 people who respond to Jesus, ask him into their hearts, get involved in a church. It's an unbelievable day. People are just super excited. The next day they say, we're going to do it again. We're only going to send half of you out. And the other half, we're going to have pray for the entire time. And these young college students who are so action first, do your actions, all about what you do. We grow out of that when we get older, right? They think, yeah, whatever, whatever. And they go out and half of them pray and half of them stay. Three times as many people come to Christ that day. Does prayer matter? Do you think that way? Do you strategize that way? Do you budget that way? Do you do your calendar that way? When you look at your coming week, when you look at your future, when you look at things, or is it just when there's problems? How much is prayer a part of your life? Martha Grace Reese wrote a book called Unbinding the Gospel, in which she studied churches that are growing, churches that are not growing. And what is the common theme? No matter what their denomination, no matter what's going on, the common theme in all the churches that are growing is they have a commitment to praying for lost people. They're devoted to that. No matter what their method is, and as a consultant, when she goes in, she doesn't go and say, this is the way that your church is going to reach people or grow. It's not a technique. It's not a strategy. It just starts with praying. Can you get your people to pray for other people to actually do John 3:16 in their own lives? That's the big trick. That's the challenge of churches is can we actually pray? Jim Cymbala in his book, Fresh Power, says this, and we just kind of finished Acts. We're going to be taking a break on Acts because we're going into Nehemiah. We're going to pick Acts back up. Okay, so don't worry about that. We'll be back in there right before Easter, and we're going to finish out the book. But we're going to kind of dive into Nehemiah here. Here's what he said. He's looking at Acts. He's looking at all these thousands of people who came to faith. We all love this story. Peter preached and thousands of people came to faith. This is great. People were radically transformed by the power of the gospel preached with the supernatural help of the Holy Spirit. And all of this came, of course, after a wonderful prayer meeting in which the disciples had secured the wonderful promise of the Father. This has remained the pattern for 2,000 years. And so many of us want to go, I just want to preach the sermon of Peter. I just want to see the results of Pentecost. But we're not willing to get in the upper room and wait for the Holy Spirit. The first work that God's trying to do in your life is to stop, to slow down, and to wait for his move. Can you do that? Today, the challenge is going to be for us to be a people of prayer. Our church prays. We love praying. I know you're praying. But if I was to ask you, honestly, last week, how many of you said, I will take this card and I will pray every single day. And how many of you actually did it? Don't raise your hand because I know many of you didn't. And that's what I want to try and convince you today. Prayer does not replace action. It helps you know when to act and when not to act. Have you ever made a mistake because you acted at the wrong time? You ever said the right thing at the wrong time? Prayer gets you on God's timing with God's power, and it gets you on God's agenda. Because most of us, our first action is really about what we think and what we want. When you stop and pray, you get on God's timing, you get on God's agenda, You get in God's power. I'm not saying you're not supposed to act. You do need to act, but you need to pray first. Okay? We're going to give some examples of that. And I want you to lock this so deeply in your brain that you can actually rewire some of your natural thinking. Would you say in general, our culture is a reflective culture or a pragmatic culture? We're definitely a pragmatic culture. Okay? We tend to say, you did it. And we tend to forget all the hard work that happened before. That's what we're going to look at today with Nehemiah. Okay? And I think it's just so important for our lives as well. And I want to challenge you, take this card home. And the challenge today is going to be to pray 10 minutes twice a day. 10 minutes twice a day. And you go, oh my gosh, that's so much time. All right, let's just talk about the other things you're spending time on, okay? 10 minutes twice a day for this month, okay? And some of you are like, that's way too much. Are you crazy? I can't even sit still for 10 minutes. Well, then do it while you're walking, okay? 10 minutes twice a day. Did you guys catch it? Do you think I'm going to say it a few more times today? You better believe it. All right, let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for this church. Thank you for building hope. And God, we're trying to do big things for you. We're trying to work. We're trying to give. We're trying to reach. But God, you are trying to do big things in us. Help us not to miss that. Help us to stop thinking we got it all figured out and we're going to go do these things. God, help us understand that as we do these things, you're trying to do big things in us. Lord, we love you. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, some background on Nehemiah. We covered this at Ash Wednesday. If you were here, you can also check it online. You can look at it. We looked at the prequel to this in Ezra, chapters 1 through 6. Basically, they had left Jerusalem. They're in Persia, which used to be Babylon, but then Persia conquered it. And they're in this area, and basically there are some people who've come back. The temple has been rebuilt, but for 70 years, the wall around the city was left unfinished. This is a problem. Because if you don't know, in the ancient world, you need a wall because people are going to invade and attack you. Okay? Those walls are good. They're important. And they're left undone. And there's all sorts of reasons for this. But basically, all the lessons that they learned in Ezra 1 through 6, which we covered on Wednesday, they forgot them. They didn't finish. They had these big dreams. They did a lot. They accomplished something great, but they couldn't finish it out. Do you see some of the themes of where I'm going at for building hope? You see what I'm saying here? God's done some big things already, but we need to finish the work that God started us on. Okay? Here's what happens in Nehemiah. His brother comes to visit him. He's in Persia. And the people say to him, this is Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 3. Things are not going well for those who return to the province of Judah. They're in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem has been torn down and the gates have been destroyed by fire. And when I heard this, I sat down and wept. In fact, for days I mourned, fasted, and prayed to the God of heaven. And then I said, O Lord God of heaven, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant of unfailing love to those who love him and obey his commands, listen to my prayer. Look down and see me praying night and day for your people Israel. He's focusing in on God's character here. I confess that we have sinned against you. He's taking responsibility for the sins of his country. I want you just to absorb that as a Christian. He's not saying those people, what's wrong with them. I confess that we have sinned. It's just a deep thing, something that seems foreign to many of us. I confess that we've sinned against you. Yes, even my own family and I have sinned. We have sinned terribly by not obeying the commands, decrees, and regulations that you gave us through your servant Moses. Please remember that you told your servant, what you told your servant Moses. If you're unfaithful to me, I will scatter you among the nations. He's basically saying, we're in exile because we sinned. What's happening to us is a fulfillment of Scripture. I hope you can get to this point in your life where you understand God's word is not just about a history lesson in the past. God's word is still coming true to this very day. It just changes how you see life because it's a clue into human nature and to the nature of God and to the nature really of reality. And as he's praying this, he's confessing and he's weeping and he's fasting and he's realizing like Scripture is being fulfilled right here. Remember what you told your servant Moses. If you're unfaithful, I will scatter you. But if you return to me and obey my commands and live by them, even if you're exiled to the ends of the earth, and he's in the place where he's exiled to the ends of the earth, I will bring you back to the place I've chosen for my name to be honored. And the people you rescued by your great power and strong hand, we are your servants. Identity. Oh Lord, please hear my prayer. Listen to the prayers of those who delight in honoring you. Please grant me success today by making the king favorable to me. Put it into his heart to be kind to me. And in those days, I was the king's cupbearer. He was close enough to God, to the king, to actually have this conversation. And here's the first point I want to make out of this. Hope rises in prayer. The foundation of real hope, and I know that you went through it this year. I went through it this year. This church went through it this year. We all went through it this year, in the last 2 years, to struggle with hope, to struggle with grit, to struggle with resiliency. The foundation of hope is not our circumstances. Oh, I'll have hope when things get better. You ever been there? You ever talked to people like that? I'll have hope if I'm strong enough to cover it. If I can't do it, then I'm hopeless. If I can't do it, then I have hope. The foundation of hope is God's character. You focus more in on his character than the circumstances. That's what Nehemiah is doing, okay? And God needed first to do some deep work in Nehemiah's life. I've had people in life, I've had people I've talked to, I've had people in church, I've had people outside of church just go, yeah, but Scott, you're not a realist. You're not realistic. You don't understand how hard it is. And I'm trying to say, I'm trying to introduce you to a bigger reality. That God is there. Well, then why are bad things happening? Because God often does his best work in the storm. God uses pain to dig up some deep things in your life. And Nehemiah, before he could get down and do this work of rebuilding the wall, because you probably know the story, he's going to rebuild the wall. But before he could rebuild the wall, God needed to do some deep work in his life. And I don't know if you know this, God getting you to pray is one of the hardest things that he can do. Can you just stop? And can you pray while you work? While you move? But can you just stop and be still and know that I am God? God's trying to do a breakthrough. And my friends, there is no drive-through for a breakthrough. Right? It's no quick, easy process. It is a hard, deep, slow process. And you and I think, man, the hard moments of life are the worst moments of life. But if you're honest, you look back, those were the moments that actually changed you, grew you, made you deeper, more empathetic, more grace-filled, more in tune to the Spirit. And I'm not saying you're supposed to pray for more of them, but you should be aware that when they come, God's going to do something. God needs to do some deep work of hope. Because the world isn't going to get easier. God didn't promise that. He promised he would be with you. Okay, hope rises in prayer. And so I got to ask you, if life is getting harder, what do you need to do? You got to pray more, not less. But for most of us, when life gets harder, busier, we pray less. That's our tendency, but it's also our temptation. We have an enemy who just goes, if I could just get you to stop praying. You can do all the God work you want. Just don't do it with God's power and God's timing and God's way. Right? Prayer is the plow. You've heard us say this a bunch of times. Prayer is the plow. And I think the idea for many of us is like, yeah, I need prayer. I need it to happen. That's all great. That's all good. But we forget what God's really trying to do to grow our lives. And I think for many of us, we kind of go, here's my life. You know, here's my life. It's very full. It's filled up kind of to the brim, you know, packed in, probably pretty hard, right? Just filled up. And then God wants to do some new thing in our lives. He wants to actually plant something new. And we just go, there it is. There's my life right there, right? That's pretty much all I need. That's the work of the Lord. Hey, Scott, you're asking me to pray for Building Hope? Done. You want me to give money to Building Hope? Sure. Done. That's all I need. Right? That's how many of us are. There is a giving element to building hope. There is a pledge element to building hope. But see, God is trying to actually cultivate something in us. And I don't have a plowshare here. Okay? But God is actually trying to do something. And sometimes he needs to break up hard ground in your life. He needs to actually take things that you thought you had under control, and he's got to cultivate the soil. He's got to make it so that you're actually ready for the work he's trying to do. Here's the thing in building hope. The success of this thing is not going to be if everyone pledges, and I want everyone to pledge. The success is going to be, can everyone pray? And can you keep praying? God is trying to actually change something in you. He's trying to cultivate that soil. And even then, he's got to take some things out of your life to make room for the things he's trying to do. And I don't know what those things are, but I know God will tell you when you pray. When you pray, you'll have his peace. When you pray, you'll have his perspective. And you'll start getting ready for the work that God's trying to do in you. Because he's trying to do something. He's trying to grow you. He's trying to change you. God's making all things new. Can you pray? Prayer is the plow. These are pruning shears, but that's a different lesson. We'll get into that another time. Prayer is the plow. Can we get into that? Can we dive deeply? Prayer is the plow. Okay? Here's the thing. God wants to be part of every part of your life. Every part. And every minute. God also wants to get you into the work of his kingdom. Many of us go, well, I go to church. No, you are the church. And I don't know if you know this, the world needs the church right now. And Satan doesn't need to take away your faith. He just needs to take you off the field. He just needs you to stop praying and stop serving. Right? And many of us are trying to do God's work alone. That's like an animal in Africa just running alone. You're just easy prey for the predators. It's when we do things together the way that Jesus set it up, which just means we're supposed to do things together because we're the church. This is what he set up. This is how we reach the world. God needs you involved, jumping in and moving out. That's why we serve together. That's why we come together. That's why we worship together. Doesn't mean your whole life is with other, like everything has to be in groups. I'm not saying that, but a lot of it is. We got to do that. We pray. We do God's work. It's huge. Let's dive back in. Early the following spring in the month of Nisan, during the 20th year of King Artaxerxes' reign, I was serving the king his wine. He's a cupbearer, right? I had never before appeared sad, because you're not really supposed to. So the king asked me, why are you looking so sad? You don't look sick to me. You must be deeply troubled. And I was terrified, because again, you're not supposed to be sad. But I replied, long live the king. How can I not be sad? For the city where my ancestors are buried is in ruins, and the gates have been destroyed by fire. And the king asked, well, how can I help you? With a prayer to the God of heaven, I replied, if it please the king, and if you're pleased with me, your servant, send me to Judah, i.e., let me go work away from you for free. Let me just give up one of your employees and go out somewhere else, and you're just going to pay for it. And the king agrees, and not only does he agree, he says, let me send some soldiers with you. Let me send some money with you. Let me send some timber with you. He blesses him beyond belief. God just hugely answers his prayer. And I love this because prayer makes a difference. Prayer allows you to respond to bad news in great ways. It's so awesome. And here's the thing we often miss. We're going to put this little slide up on here. How many times did Nehemiah pray through the book? He prayed boldly. He prayed in 2-4, 4-4, 4-5, 4-9, 5-19, 6-14, 13-14, 13-22, and 13-29. He's praying throughout this book, throughout his life, But he also began with praying. And I know it seems like it all happened very quickly, but he got down on his knees day and night, weeping and fasting for 6 months. And I want you to lock that in to your head because it's going to come up again in a couple minutes. 6 months before he went to the king and asked. That's what that, in the fall, I heard the news, and in the spring is when I went to go ask the king. 6 months. Prayer, deeply. You got any problems? Prayer responds, allows us to respond to bad news in great ways. You got any problems going on in life? Did you hear any bad news in the last 2 years? And let's just be honest here for a second. I mean, let's just be honest. When you heard that bad news, did you go, I need to pray? Or did you go, I need to get on social media. I need to complain. I need to talk to politicians. I need to listen to the news more. It's going to make me less anxious. Right? I need to vent my struggles. I need to vent. Or did you say, I need to pray? There's an old quote that says, if we talked less and prayed more, our world would be a different place. What's your prayer to talking ratio? I'm not trying to judge you. I just want you to ask these questions of yourself. I want you to kind of go, "What, God, what do you want my rhythm of life to be like? What are you trying to do in me?" It's not a judgment thing. It's a question. It's an introspection. It's an invitation into a different life. And I think a lot of us think, if I just prayed more, I wouldn't get as much done. And the point of today's sermon is you would get more done because you would have God's timing in God's way, in God's power. You would also have more peace. You would be less anxious and you would be less apt to judge and look down on other people. God is inviting you into the rhythm and the power of eternity. Do you think God right now is freaking out? He's inviting you into that. Nehemiah got on his face for 6 months and wept and prayed. I had a friend, church planner that I'm coaching, tell me this story recently. Coming back from the pandemic, and 7 of his 8 leaders either stepped down from being leaders or moved out of state. And as they were coming back, resuming public services, he was like, I don't know what to do. I need these leaders. I can't help follow my place. So he's telling people about it. And exactly 0 people stepped up. Tried working on that for months, 2 months. And then he and his wife said, for 7 days, we're going to fast and pray. And then when the next 2 weeks happened, 6 of those 7 positions got filled. And he didn't ask a single person. They all came up to him. And said, I just feel like God's telling me it's time for me to step up. And he was like, awesome. And he was sharing this story with me. And he was saying, I feel weird because even as a pastor, even as a church planner, I feel like I'm learning about prayer. Which feels weird because I've talked about prayer and I've prayed my whole life. But I feel like I'm learning even when it comes time to accomplish something, I actually need to do it through prayer. God's doing lessons. God's changing things. Okay? We ask you to kind of get into God's word. We got this new devotional. Take it home. Or if you got a different devotional, that's fine. But this is a way to kind of go, let's go through Nehemiah together. Let's look through these comments together. Let's kind of do that. It makes a huge difference. Okay? I want you to stop real quick right now. Just take a second and breathe. And just ask God, what are you trying to do in me? Through the bad stuff. What are you trying to plow up in me? Through the good stuff, how are you at work in my life right now? God is trying to work in you and through you, but first in you. All right, let's get back in Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 11. So I arrived in Jerusalem, and 3 days later, I slipped out during the night, taking only a few others with me. I hadn't told anyone about the plans God had put in my heart, because he'd been praying for 6 months, for Jerusalem. We took no pack animals with me except the donkey I was riding. After dark, I went out through the valley gate, past the jackal's well, over to the dung gate. I don't know why it's wanted called that way, so we won't get into that right now, to inspect the broken walls and the burn gates. Down to verse 16. The city officials did not know I had been there or what I was doing, for I had not yet said anything to anyone about my plans. I hadn't spoken yet to the Jewish leaders, the priests, the nobles, the officials, or anyone else in the administration. But now I said to them, you know very well the trouble we are in. Jerusalem lies in ruins and its gates have been destroyed by fire. So let's rebuild the wall of Jerusalem and end this disgrace. I want to note something real quick here. We could talk more about it. He's using the same words with them that motivated him. He's using the same words with them that got him down on his knees. But they're the ones living there. And a lot of people said, hey, these people weren't praying for months and months and months. But I actually believe that they were. I believe that they were. And then when he showed up, they were like, yes, you're the answer to that prayer. We're ready to go. They were just waiting for someone who could help them. He also had a unique relationship with the king, because that was one of the major threats that the opponent said, like, you're trying to have a rebellion against the king. Nehemiah could show up and say, I have a letter from the king. You're wrong. I'm right. Let's work. Okay? Here's what happens. Then I told them how the gracious hand of God had been on me and about my conversation with the king. So he'd actually had proof about his prayers being answered. Do you see that, friends? Do you see that when you live in prayer and then God answers your prayers, you can now put that onto your spiritual resume and people look and they go, God has been working through you. Let's do this thing. Let's go. Let's make it happen. I want to ask you, what do you try to put on your spiritual resume? Do you guys try and put everything you've done? Or do you try to put on the things that I couldn't have done this? Only God could have done this. This was not possible. And everyone goes, man, God's working through you. I'm with you. Let's go. How often are you trying to share your own work, your own things that you've accomplished, rather than this is what God did, and it was way bigger than me, way bigger than my talent, way bigger than my skills. This changes you. And they replied, and I told them how in the conversation with the king, verse 18 at the end, and they replied, yes, let's rebuild the wall, and they began the good work, and here come the enemies. When Sanballat, Tobiah, and Geshem the Arab heard of our plan, they scoffed contemptuously. What are you doing? Are you rebelling against the king? And I replied, the God of heaven will help us succeed. Our verse right here will help us succeed. We, his servants, will start rebuilding this wall, but you have no legal right, historic claim, or share in Jerusalem. And now chapter 3, then Eliashib, the high priest, I love that it starts with the high priest. I just love this, so cool. And the other priests started to rebuild at the sheep gate. They dedicated it and set up its doors, building the wall as far as the Tower of the Hundred, which they dedicated, and the Tower of Hananel. And then basically in chapter 3, just goes around the wall saying, all these people are working. All these leaders are working. Everyone took a section, and then things are just happening, and they're just moving, and they're praying, and they're working, and they're praying, and they're working. And the wall was finished. The wall that had not been done in 70 years was finished in 52 days. Prayer matters. And I know there are people in here right now going, Scott, yeah, prayer matters. Just build. Just work. Just do it. Praying's great, but you need to work. Well, then you explain to me why for 70 years the people who had rebuilt the temple could not rebuild the wall. These are the same people who say to me, Scott, it's great to pray, but we need to get stuff done. We need to talk practical. Those are the same people when it seems practically impossible who say, can't be done. Those are the same people who are confused when God does it anyway. My friends, we prayed for 10 years to plant a church. And God decided in the middle of the pandemic to plant Radiant, and today they're having their first weekly service. Yeah. Our brother who just walked out there, he's going there right now. He's going over there. He's part of Radiant. He just likes to, slum it over here with us. 10 years, God's timing. And because we waited, we got to plant with Modesto Covenant. We got to have money left over so we can plant more churches. Lord willing, we don't know when, but we're going to keep praying. Because the money is there and the willingness is there. We prayed, God, raise it up. Raise up this church. Do it up. And we were ready to build. And then the pandemic came. And now prices have gone up. And now things are different. And we don't know all that timing, but we trust God. Because the pandemic did not surprise God. But you know what I found? We needed to go through what we went through because we weren't ready for more people. God needed to do a deeper work in us. He needed to get us doing deeper work in our souls. We are a church that's all about the deeper work. And we needed to be able to do spiritual check-ins with each other. We need to be able to do mentoring with each other. We need to get our leaders ready to actually disciple people so it's not just people showing up and going, yeah, Sunday morning's great, and then not going any deeper because the storm's going to come again. And the trees that don't have deep roots will fall over in the storm. Did you see it happen? We got to dig deep, deep, deep roots. And some people don't like that our church is all about that, that we want to talk about your inner life. I'm sorry, but I'm not sorry. That's who we are. We're not the fluff. We want to live life beneath the surface because that's where the real source is. That's where the real nutrients are. That's where God's doing the work. That means we got to pray. We got to dive in. The wall was finished in 52 days, and Nehemiah prayed for 6 months. That means he prayed 3 times longer than he worked. Can you sink that into your heart? He prayed 3 times longer than he worked. He did a wall in 52 days that hadn't been done for 70 years. Sink it in. Sink it in. That's why we have all these stories in the Bible. Okay? Let that absorb deep into you. And when Nehemiah was done with the wall, you know what he's thinking? It's just the beginning. And we're going to get into this in a couple of weeks. It was just the beginning because Nehemiah needed to transform the people. Not just the wall. He needed to rebuild the people. He needed to tear down certain walls that were dividing God's people while they built up the right wall. They needed to actually tear down walls of disbelief, selfishness. It's all about me. How can I exploit this situation for my personal gain? All these things that were happening then, they're still happening now. And the rest of the book of Nehemiah after chapter 6 is really about Nehemiah rebuilding this culture of hope. How do we get people committed to God? How do we get people to confess their sins? You know how Nehemiah confessed his sins? Now he's got to get the people to confess their sins. He's got to get them on their faces. He's got to get them praying. He's got to get them to say, I will sign a document that says I am in for God and his work. We're going to cover that. Okay? And then he goes away for a little while. And then he comes back and they had done everything perfectly, right? No, chapter 13 is how we went. I got to keep up at it. That's why your spiritual leaders are tired, friends. Because we keep preaching the same things and you're just like, oh yeah, I don't have it yet. I don't have it yet. I don't have it yet. Because the world will distract you. Yes? Lock it in right now. Lock it in so deep. I need this. I need to change my schedule. I need to lock it in. What's the last thing I'm doing before I go to bed? Yeah, no, it's not. For most of us, it's not. We go to bed worshiping our phone. Right? And we think if we turn the blue light to a yellow light, then our souls will be okay. What if we just had these different rhythms? I think God's trying to do something way deeper in building hope right now. Way deeper. I trust in his timing. I trust that he says, you're going to plant first before you build. And my friends, this year we are going to work. We're going to get our hands dirty out there, putting in a playground for kids and space to meet and new entries and stuff like that. But God's not done with us. He's trying to get us deeper, planting more churches, supporting more missions, expanding our facilities, and yes, expanding even our meeting space. Because a church that continues to reach out to new people eventually is going to run out of space. And I think it's going to happen again, but I think this time it's going to be different. It's going to be deeper because our heart isn't going to be just for more people. Our heart's going to be more like for louder worship. For people who don't care what the people around them think when they're worshiping God in front of their brothers and sisters from church. Hearts abandoned. people who are diving deeper into God's word. People who, when they go out for coffee, aren't just saying, tell me your problems, but tell me how your walk with Jesus is going. A different church. God's trying to do something here. And it's not just about Covenant Grove. It's about Covenant Grove being deployed out to the world, especially in Modesto and Riverbank and the surrounding area. How's God trying to use us to bless the world? Bless our town. Okay? Prayer moves you into action. And God's timing and God's way. I want to ask you again, can you take this card and actually pray 10 minutes twice a day? Can you do that? If we get to Pledge Sunday in a month and everyone pledges, but we didn't pray, I think we failed. I want 100% of people praying. If we do that, no matter what the money winds up being, we will have succeeded. I just need you to pray. Because we are going to move to that point eventually where we start saying, hey, we want everyone to consider what God's asking them to do with their time and their finances. But first, just pray. Can you do it? Can you do it? I think God's trying to change us, and I don't know where. I don't know how. I just know that we need to pray. I want to talk about our evangelism challenges real quick as we wrap up. We got this new card I want to encourage you to take home. People have been filling these out not only for themselves, but they've been filling them out and turning them in. So I got some cards right here. I got to share these stories. So I think it's so good when we hear these stories, and I actually get really encouraged when I hear your stories because it's not just I'd rather hear your story about what you're doing with the sermon than just saying, hey, the sermon was great, right? I know the sermon's great. I'm just kidding. But the point is, I'd rather hear, like, it's not about the content. It's not about the delivery. It's about God's power. It's about your response to God's word. That's what really gets me fired up as a pastor. There's a person going for a walk in their neighborhood. And they're walking and they're on their phone with their friend. And their neighbor calls out to them and they say, hey, I need to talk to you. I need to talk to you. And the person's going, what is happening? They hang up with their friend real quick. Hey, I got to go. And they go in and their friend's in their garage calling them over. They just said, I just need to talk with you right now. And they're Assyrians. They have a hunger for the Bible. They start talking about the Bible. They start talking about faith. This person from our church invites them to our church. And they just start having this conversation. And they said, I'm just going to go walk. And when I'm on my walk, I'm just going to go talk to them. Again, the challenge last month was to listen. And they said, I'm being interrupted by God to go listen. And they had this conversation. We had someone in our church from AA who's reaching out to people throughout the week to text them and to listen to say, is there anything I can be praying for you about? They felt through this challenge that God was asking them to go beyond. Elena Hernandez works in a healthcare facility, and she shared she had a regular patient who was feeling very overwhelmed and struggling. And Elena told her, hey, just feel free to open up and tell me whatever you need to say. Because she'd said, I need to put this person on my card. And so this person did. They started opening up, and they were just, bah! Right? Bah! Right? And then this person said, can you pray for me? And Elena did. And it made a difference. She could see the difference, the comfort, the peace that she had as she went out of the room to go see doctors. Another person got a package that belonged to their neighbor, and they thought, oh, man, I'm so tired. I don't want to have a conversation. I don't want to listen. I want to go through that. And they thought, I'm just going to put it back at the mailbox and just maybe put a little note there. And then they felt that little nudge, that little tap on the shoulder. You know that one? You know, in that moment where you're going, am I going to do this, God? Because I really don't want to do it. I don't think I have energy to do it. And I said, okay, I'll do it. This has been the challenge. This is the evangelism challenge for last month, right? And they said, okay. So they bring the package over to their neighbor, knock on the door. Woman comes up, and of course the woman wanted to talk. But it was quick. It was only about 10 minutes. And they said, this woman shared that her husband had cancer, was going in for treatments, and she didn't have anyone to talk to about it. So right there at the door, they just talked for a few minutes, they prayed together, and now this person from our church is actually trying to go over there every few days to catch up again and pray more. God is already working ahead of you. He's inviting you to jump in. This month's challenge is what? What are we asking you to do? Eat. Do you do that? You do that a couple times a day? Yeah, someone said, that's not a challenge, okay? So we're saying, invite people over to your house. Go out to coffee with people. Have those conversations. And you might even want to start practicing that today. Like, hey, do you want to go out? There's a lot of people you don't know in this church. Let's just go out. Just get used to saying that to people. Hey, let's go do coffee. Let's just do that. And then pray and then listen. And you live into those rhythms and you start doing what Jesus is doing. You start to realize, God, you're putting me on a mission. And I know the biggest thing people are saying is, I don't have time. But God's trying to cultivate something in you. Okay? Prayer is the plow. God's trying to do some deep work. Let's pray. God, thank you for today. Thank you for my brothers and sisters in here. Jesus, we love you so much. You came. You love us. You died for us. You sacrificed for us. Lord, we're in the middle of Lent. And Lord, everything we have is yours. God, I want to pray for my brothers and sisters in here that they can just get their hearts on their knees and pray. That they can confess. That they can allow you to do the deep work in them. None of us have it figured out, and all of us need to pray more. I've never met a single person who says, I'm praying enough. Take us deeper, Jesus. Help us to see what you're trying to do through us. In Jesus' name, amen.